Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's July the 3rd, 2006. I'm Tom Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's out of Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, the three-day weekend meeting of the World Trade Organization did not go well. Dave Dickey will report today on the lack of progress and USDA's disappointment with Europe. And then I'll bring you more information from University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. Friday, we heard his reaction to the corn and soybean acreage and quarterly grain stocks reports. Today, Darrell takes up the wheat numbers. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at the Chesapeake Energy office in Chicago, Illinois, to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July contract in the wheat pit at 384 and a quarter, up 12 and three quarters today. September futures 402, they were up 6 cents for the day. July contract 503, up three and a quarter, that from Kansas City. July corn futures 243 and a quarter, up 7 3/4. And September's 253 and a half, or up 7 1/2 cents for the day. December contract 268 and a half, up 8 1/4. March futures 7 3/4 higher at 279 and 3/4. July futures in Chicago for the beans 601 1/2, 6 3/4 higher. August contract 608 1/2, up 8. September's at 615 3/4, up 7 3/4. And November beans up 6 3/4 at 629 1/4. Bean meal futures July contract 175.70. They're up $1.10 for the day. July bean oil at 26.17, down 19 at the settlement prices. Mercantile exchange August feeder cattle $116.37 1/2. They were up $1.17 1/2. And July live cattle, well, the August live cattle rather, 67 1/2 cents higher at 86.35. July lean hogs at 72.87 1/2 were up 32 1/2. Outside markets, crude oil August contract 73.93. That was a last trade, unchanged on the day. CRB index at 348.13, up 1.74. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 77 points higher, 11,228. The trade there.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
All right, let's talk about this marketplace. On Commodity Week, we had three folks sitting in seats that were a bit bearish, if you happen to listen to that, which surprised me as I went through this. They told me a couple of times after the fact, I don't know that this aired in the show, that part of the reason was because they were feeling that most of their farmers and producers and others that they were talking to felt awfully good about the crop place. Of course, this market turning around and simply trading weather for the day, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, when you look at the current conditions, I imagine this afternoon's conditions are probably going to be unchanged. There's going to be some deterioration in the spring wheat conditions. They've been in dire need of some water, and they've missed out on that, so as a whole, you know, the central belt here, this warm, dry weather has been really welcome in most areas. I mean, this crop's really come online here over the last weekend through here. But for areas that's been short-changed, they're going to start to see some deterioration, especially if they miss the rain event here over the next few days. But the trade's looking down the road. And when you look at this afternoon, 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day, you're going to see above normal temperatures and below normal precip on those forecasts. And as tight as the supply-demand balance sheet is long-term with this ethanol demand base and bio demand base, it's got the trade quite anxious to keep an eye on this weather real close.
Historically speaking, and maybe you can talk about this, do you recall a time when the Minneapolis Grain Exchange led for very long, or how this takes place, and does it stay in point on point for very long? For instance, it's up 14 cents today. Most think that the spring wheat has been leading things higher because they're ahead of the curve, at least on dry conditions at this point in Montana and some of the other places that raise spring wheat. Will that stay in place for very long? And how? I guess the real question is, if we have normal conditions here, how long can a spring wheat rally hold up both the corn and the beans?
Well, we've got to remember that the market sensitivity has been brought on by the commodity funds. And, you know, even the Kansas City was an example. They had to go to Chicago because they maxed out their positions in Kansas City. Minneapolis has been thinly traded in the past. You're talking smaller bushels, and when you get a big fund coming in or buying thousands of contracts, it really makes it quite touchy. But Minneapolis is still in a position to work another 80 to 90 cents higher. Our research department at ADM Investor Services was on top of this. They highly recommended Minneapolis wheat several weeks ago, with the idea that the Minneapolis could run to $6 fairly quickly. The Kansas City sort of did its thing. Chicago sort of been a follower all winter and all summer here. And so they feel there's still some more upside here over time as the trade needs to still ration the supply, especially if we continue to see these conditions deteriorate over the next week or two yet.
And what does that tell you about the corn market in particular? Is it going to be, again, will it be capable, as ADM talked much about this, capable of following the grain exchange higher?
Well, it could follow somewhat, but the corn market is going to be on its own here. We're entering the critical window of pollination, and we're in the window right now where we need the most moisture that we can get. The most rapid use of moisture is now. And for these areas that's been shortchanged, they're going to start showing some signs of stress fairly quickly. But the thing about the corn is we continue to see this outside money come into the marketplace. Everybody and his brother and Wall Street wants to buy corn futures. There's been program after program with this ethanol demand base being built that instead of investing in ethanol plants now, the cool thing is to actually jump into the corn futures themselves. There's a lot of people looking at 2 years from now, $5 corn futures. As long as this energy prices stay high and the demand for energy stays high, this ethanol base has really caught on through here. And, that's why the deferred contracts are over $3.
Are you recommending at all, at this point, sales for the following two-year crops?
We've lightly gone into 2007. We've not done anything to the 2008. We're 10% in the 2007. I think you need to look out and do a little bit out there, because what can happen is when you talk to a farmer, when you say $3 corn, he gets quite excited about that, and I have a feeling that we're going to see a lot more corn acres next year if those deferred contracts continue to trade at a premium here. You've got to remember, it takes a while for an ethanol plant to be built and brought online. So if crude oil would get hit hard in here, we could very easily see these deferred premiums erode quite rapidly. But I think that you need to lightly step into it, because when you start talking 2,000 corn, 2007 corn at $3 on the board, 2008 at almost $3.30. That's quite attractive.
And when you take a windshield estimate of what the crop looks like in your area, what are you seeing?
Well, it depends on what stage. For the later corn, it's smaller. It's getting quite stressed here in the afternoons on the lighter soil.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that a good half inch, three quarters inch rain will help. But if we continue to, see the forecast stay the way it is and shut the moisture off here after the next day or two, it could change in a hurry. The beans, surprisingly, though, they've taken a big spurt here. But the beans, in a lot of the areas are starting to struggle a little bit because they were, for the most part, put in dry soil, have not received much rain after they've been in the ground, whereas corn has.
It'd be kind of interesting to watch and see if that crop lays down for a bit and goes dormant and then comes back out and puts on a good crop. It'll be relatively fun to watch if you don't have beans in the ground and you're not a farmer, I suppose. Not so fun if you are a farmer. Insect problems at all in your area? Japanese beetle have been talked about. I know they're. I took a trip up your way and during the day was just being pelted. I actually had to stop and take a look and see what was hitting me, but it was just awful between here and Bloomington last week a couple of different times.
Yeah, last year was the first year we really saw them in big numbers, for say, that actually had to start to be a concern. But they're really thick here this year. I know down in the Champaign area, they've been dealing with them for several years.
Yeah.
But, and it's starting to take the toll in some areas. They're starting to chew on anything that's green, that's around. But if the weather continues to stay hot and dry, I think that problem's only going to get worse.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, it's sort of a short trading session in the outside markets. The electronic crude oil and metals did trade, but the open outcry pit did not. We need to keep that in mind. Crude oil approaching $74 a barrel and gold back over $600 an ounce. I think we still got that positive outside influence in the marketplace. Also, too, as we mentioned before, I got to keep an eye on the weather in through here. We're in the time window where this weather really takes hold in through here. I would not be surprised to see the market sharply higher tomorrow evening in electronic trade here if that 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 day continues to show warm, dry conditions.
We appreciate you being with us. Have a good 4th of July.
Very good. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And that's Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for our look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Ed Kieser forecast tonight across the two-state region looks like this. In the north and central sections, mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. In the south, partly cloudy and muggy. Lows will range, he says, from 63 in northwestern Illinois to 73 in the south. Tomorrow in far northern Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. A few scattered showers and some thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow will range from 81 in northern Illinois to 89 in the far south. Tomorrow, wind speed 7 to 14 miles an hour, the minimum afternoon. Relative humidities ranging between 45 and 60%. The extended forecast, scattered showers, some thunderstorms may linger in the southern third of the two-state area on into Wednesday. Otherwise, dry weather is expected across Illinois and Indiana. Right on through Wednesday and Sunday. A bit of a lower temperature, humidity levels Wednesday through Friday will keep livestock stress levels at low levels. Dave Dickey's here now with the latest on the Doha round of the World Trade Organization talks that took place over the weekend.
Most of the key negotiators spent much of the three-day meeting blaming one another for failure to move forward. WTO Director General Pascal Lamé says in his words, "There has been no progress. Therefore, we are in a crisis." USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says in his words, "I'm worried." And Johanns adds that the message he and U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab are bringing home from Geneva is not one of success.
"And at the end of this weekend, the ambassador and I cannot go back home and say to our Congress that we've delivered on market access."
European Union Trade Chief Negotiator Peter Mandelson claimed the U.S. offer to cut its most trade-distorting farm programs by 60% would not reduce America's farm spending. And Mandelson said, without deeper cuts in U.S. farm spending, Europe's farmers were not interested in improving access to their markets for U.S. ag products.
Farmers in Europe say that if we're going to experience the pain of cutbacks, eliminated export subsidies, very greatly reduced farm supports, then for us to be competitive with American farmers, then the playing field has to be leveled between us. And that's the point.
Mandelson says the meeting was neither, in his words, a success nor a disaster. American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman was in Geneva monitoring the lack of negotiations. Stallman expressed disappointment and added the finger-pointing was simply a way for WTO member nations to avoid making a deal.
I think there's a clear understanding of the U.S. proposal in that we want real trade to happen. We want real market access improvements that will allow products to flow across borders. And I think there's a clear understanding of that. And so what has happened is for all of those many countries of the world who don't want that to happen, they're trying to point to the U.S. domestic support as sort of a blame game and point fingers at the U.S. and say, well, we have to do more. But the reality is the reason they're doing that is they don't want to do anything in market access.
The Doha round is already 2 years behind schedule, and with presidential fast-track trade authority set to expire next July, American soybean president Bob Metz says time is extremely short. But he reiterated no deal is better than one that does not deliver on improved market access.
Trade promotion authority will leave us soon in the United States unless Congress would vote it back in. France has an election coming up. Brazil has an election coming up. So it is of the thought process that there really isn't more than a week or two left, maybe 3 weeks, and then it's really too late, not only for the U.S., but for other countries as well. So we do need to move forward, and maybe at the last hour other countries will start to see it our way. If not, we are very clear that no deal is definitely better than a bad deal.
It was believed that trade ministers would meet again at the end of this month, but over the weekend, LeMay says he may not convene a meeting in July. The WTO Trade Negotiating Committee over the weekend gave LeMay additional authority to play the role of facilitator and catalyst for a deal. That means LeMay may spend several weeks in shuttle diplomacy and high-level consultations with key trade players, beginning with G6 nations of Australia, Brazil, India, Japan, the EU, and the U.S. LeMay also says, in his words, this sense of being on the brink of failure needs to be brought back home so that serious negotiations can resume. And Schwab says there's still time.
When we have clearly reached something of an impasse here, does that mean that the round is dead? And the answer is no, we don't believe so. And as Mike Johans indicated, we remain fully committed to an ambitious, robust round and have no intention of giving up hope.
But some U.S. lawmakers are not so sure. Senate Finance Committee Ranking Member Max Baucus says it was more of the same this past weekend in Geneva. U.S. trading partners ask for more but offer less. In Baucus's words, that's not an acceptable outcome for farmers and ranchers. Time is running out. This is Dave Dickey, AM 580 Agriculture.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, as you know, last Friday, USDA released its latest grain stocks and acreage figures. We'll recap those numbers on the wheat side of the market today with University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good. USDA says all wheat stored in all positions on June 1, 2006, totaled 568 million bushels, up 5% from a year ago. On-farm stocks are estimated at 111 million bushels, down 31% from last year. Off-farm stocks at 457 million bushels are up 21% from a year ago. The March to May 2006 indicated disappearance is 404 million bushels, according to USDA. And that's down 9% from the same period a year earlier. Those numbers and the increased acreage of wheat, you would think, might push prices lower. But the weather has not been cooperative this year. And as University of Illinois Extension's Darrell Good explains, that may continue to add up to higher wheat prices.
Well, I think two things. One, we did see intentions for spring wheat acres jump from March. 700,000 to 800,000 acres, again, fairly well anticipated because of the spike in wheat prices that occurred right during planting time. But really the big news is that we are seeing exceptionally large abandonment of hard red winter wheat acres this year. So that while planted acres of wheat or total wheat are a bit larger this year than last year, the projection is that harvested acreage will be down about 3 million acres from a year ago. And on top of that, some relatively low yields and current stress on the spring wheat suggest we will be dealing with a pretty small wheat crop, 06-07.
By the way, the 2006 winter wheat planted area at 41.4 million acres is 2% above last year, but virtually unchanged from the previous estimates. Of this total, about 29.7 million acres are hard red winter wheat, 7.45 million acres are soft red winter wheat, and 4.21 million acres are white winter wheat. Area planted to other spring wheat for 2006 is estimated at 14.6 million acres, up 4% from 2005. Of this total, about 13.9 million acres are hard red spring wheat. The Durham planted area for 2006 is estimated at 1.89 million acres. That's down 32% from the previous year. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolandagrienergy.com.
On this Monday afternoon, Greg Johnson of The Anderson joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Has the basis been following the futures higher?
Yes, it has. I know a lot of people have been saying that basis wasn't going to get any better, so I did a little checking, and our corn basis improved 9 cents during the month of June. Bean basis only improved 3 cents during the month of June, but the spread between old crop and new crop was so wide the old crop basis almost had to get a little bit better, and it has. And we still have another 8 cent spread between old crop and new crop corn, so either old crop basis has to improve a little bit more or new crop basis has to get a little bit weaker, or some combination of the both, and depending on how much it rains here over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll see whether the old crop basis works up or the new crop basis works down.
If you had to guess, which would you think will happen?
I think we'll see a little bit of both. I'm assuming it's going to rain in enough areas here over the next 2 or 3 weeks that hopefully we'll have something close to a normal crop. If that happens, we'll probably see old crop basis improve 3 or 4 or 5 cents and the new crop basis worsen or widen out by about 3 or 4 cents as well.
And that would be fairly typical then for any given year?
Yes. Yeah, it may be a little wider, but considering how much old crop corn and old crop beans we're carrying into the new crop, that's not unheard of.
And do you suspect that there will be a lot of old crop left to come into the marketplace and will push its way in sometime in the late July, early August time frame or not?
Yes. I mean, the market is telling you to hold on to that corn as long as possible, and I think with this weather rally that we've entered into now this week, I think farmers will hold on to that corn, but as soon as they see it rain, if it does, and again, we're assuming that it will rain somewhere, I think then farmers will let loose of that corn because the flat price will be better and the basis will have improved a little bit, so they'll use that combination of better basis and better board prices to get rid of that old crop corn. So yeah, I guess I do see a mini harvest taking place with old crop corn here in July and August, and then the regular harvest in October.
Absolutely. Then your prices for the day are?
Cash corn finishes 235, up 8 cents. New corn 243. Cash beans 587, also up 8 cents. New beans 604. And old crop wheat 352, next July 426.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. At least somebody from that office does each and every Monday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agriculture weather with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A monthly measure of the Illinois economy is putting out smaller numbers for the second month in a row, but its author says the state economy is still growing. June's reading of the University of Illinois Flash Index was 106, with any number above 100 signifying economic growth. It has floated in the 105 to 107 range for the past 15 months. And U of I economist Fred Gert says the latest 2 months of declines still show that the economy is strong in Illinois, just not as strong as it was in the last half of 2005. Gay marriage opponents in Illinois have hit a hurdle in their petition drive to get a measure on the November ballot because they don't appear to have enough valid signatures. A State Board of Elections spokesman today says a check of a sampling of the more than 330,000 signatures submitted only found 91% of them to be from registered voters. 95% is required. The measure asking voters if the state should amend the Illinois Constitution to ban same-sex marriage can still make it to the ballot. That's because supporters can appeal the findings of the Election Board's review, which they plan to do. Organizers of Independence Day celebrations in Champaign-Urbana say they still need some volunteers to help with parking and the parade. A spokeswoman for the Champaign County Freedom Celebration says tomorrow's parade may be the biggest they've ever had. Private donations pay for the day's events, which also include fireworks at night near Memorial Stadium. Roger Ebert's wife says the Urbana native is doing well after emergency surgery. The film critic remains in serious but stable condition today, and Chaz Ebert is asking his fans to give him the space he needs to recover. First Christian Church of Newburgh, Indiana, held its first services yesterday in a new church building that was damaged by last November's tornado. Services were held in the church gym, since the sanctuary won't be ready until August. The church was to be completed in January. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Joining us now, Ed Keezer, chief meteorologist at WILL, to take a look at the agricultural weather. He's in for the Chesapeake Energy folks this afternoon, who apparently took off a little bit early for the July 4th holiday. Good afternoon to you, Ed. Thanks for stepping in.
Mark, the markets are closed, so why not go home?
But apparently that's the case. So he took off. Actually, they took off. There are a couple of them in Chicago, but the weather has been the big play in the market. And many people are wondering, after we get this little bout of rainfall that may or may not fall across the Midwest out of the way on Wednesday, what the weather will look like. Can you tell us more?
Well, I can tell you that we are going to go into a dry period the rest of this week and into the weekend. And, of course, that's going to make traders and producers nervous. At this time of year, rain is a necessary something that's necessary for good crop development as we go through the month of July, the big pollination month for corn. Rain is definitely needed. So I think when we return on Wednesday, the focus is going to be on the maps for next week, because there's and also a look back at what rain has fallen today into tomorrow. So those are going to be the two big factors when everything opens on Wednesday. Where did it rain and how much on Monday and Tuesday, and what do the maps have for next week? Because I could tell you Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday all look dry.
Farther out is harder to predict. Tell me about today and tomorrow and Wednesday. How much rainfall do you think will fall and where? And your predictions, if you have any good estimates, or is the weather just not being cooperative in terms of its ability to give you enough information to make those accurately?
Well, with thunderstorms, there's always a high variety of rainfall amounts. But basically, through the next 36 hours or so, most of the rain will come to southeastern Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. The northern parts of the belt are pretty much done with the rain. There's already some thunderstorms firing up from south central Iowa and southwestern Iowa all the way across Illinois, along and just south of I-80. And because the storms are tracking west to east over the same area, some places will get over an inch of rain. This area will be shifting southward tomorrow, so more of Illinois and Indiana will get rain. But still, there's going to be some places that only get a quarter inch, maybe a little less. Other places could pick up a quick 2 inches of rain. So amounts variable, but coverage very good across our two-state area.
Ed, thanks much.
You're welcome.
Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist at WILL, filling in this afternoon for the folks at Chesapeake Energy, who apparently stepped out a little early for the holiday tomorrow. By the way, you have a great 4th of July, and remember to join us again on Wednesday morning, that at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report, and that you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, the weather right there on the web. If you'd like to, just go to willag.org. For Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Ed Kieser, the Chief Meteorologist here, I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great 4th of July. We'll be right back.